Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the Total Christmas Podcast is brought to you by me. Every episode is brought to you by me. Of course it is. I'm the only one here. Run theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says me, my trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm Jack. You are? Are you? Have you got any ID? Let me see your ID. Let me check it out. Give it here. Give it here. Let me have a look. Give it here. Give it here. Okay, that checks out. Fine. Okay, so a couple of things before we get right into the show. First up, do you remember I talked about Rob Taylor, our listener, who wanted to find a way to raise money at Christmas and he didn't want to do a quiz, which I thought would have been great, but that's fine. That's fine. We got a suggestion from Bob Baker. And do you remember after the suggestion from Bob Baker, we talked about Guinness World Records that they could try and break? Well, anyway, this is the reply I got from my mate Rob Taylor. Here it comes. Dear Jack, you are magnificent. Words cannot express just how much I love you and your podcast. Your podcast is by far the greatest podcast anyone has ever created in the history of podcasts. I have never met you, but I assume you are incredibly handsome and also quite the one with the ladies. Do you know what? None of this is actually in there, but I'm implying it from the first line, because the first line says, "Good morning to you both." Referring to me and Bob Baker, because he sent the message to both me and Bob Baker. But I think from that sentence you can infer what I just said. It's in there, isn't it? You get it, don't you? You get it. You get it, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Of course you do. Right, here's what he said. Firstly, I would like to offer my huge thanks for you coming back with the caroling slash choir idea. It hadn't crossed my mind, and it is an idea I'm going to run with. Fortunately, every year in Dorchester, my little town in Dorset, I'm familiar with Dorchester, I've been there a few times, bought some comics when I was there many years ago, yeah. Also, a couple of years ago, bought a caravan there, got it home, full of mould. Yeah, anyway, that's enough about Dorchester. Every year in Dorchester, they have a Christmas cracker weekend where streets are lined by small stalls and there are a light switch on, where the trees and shopping areas, albeit small, are illuminated to start Christmas celebrations. Thus, I am going to get in touch with the organisers, and I'd imagine Town Council, to get the necessary caroling licence, yep, you need one, and permissions, and start from there. I believe if I also get the charity involved, there is a way we can get choirs all across the UK to all sing Silent Night at the same time. You see, he's not just taking the idea of carol singing, which was my idea, he's taken Bob's idea of breaking the world record for the most people singing Silent Night. Yeah. Both our ideas. Thanks to everyone else who gave us an idea, which was no one! Then he's put, this is something that I might have to put off until next year if I've left it too late this year. I'm putting together a choir as we speak, and sadly, as none of us can sing, we may need to bring some other more seasoned singers into it. Many thanks again to both of you. It's really, really appreciated. There you go. That was from Rob Taylor. Well, Rob, I was just glad to be of help, and I'm sure Bob feels the same way. Right, that's one thing. Next thing, I sold two t-shirts on my merch. Yeah, I've got merch. I think it's with Tee Public. And I loaded up about, I think there's four or five designs on there. Like, one's my logo. One says, you know, I love you, Americas. Anyway, I sell a few every year at Christmas. You know, I do tend to plug it a little bit in December. Not a big deal, because I don't make any money out of it. Any money that I get, I give to charity, and I double it as well. So if anything, it's costing me money because I've got to give more money to charity. But it's a good cause, you know. Last year I went with Save the Children. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that I'd sold two t-shirts in the middle of May. Yeah. And do you know who bought those two t-shirts? The best dressed person in the world. That's who bought them. So you'll probably spot him or her in their t-shirts. Best dressed person in the world bought those t-shirts. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. I was chuffed with that. Also, I haven't listened to it yet, but there's a new episode of Merry Britsmas. It's just come out. I was just checking this morning. I thought, has he done anything yet this year? And finally, the first new episode is up. So check it out, boys and girls. That's the Merry Britsmas podcast. I've had Adam Parker, he's the presenter. I've had him on the show a couple of times. Really nice guy, and it's a really good show. Almost as good as this one. Some would say better. They'd be wrong, but it's almost as good. I listen to every episode, although I haven't listened to the latest one yet, because I listen to my Christmas podcasts on a Monday morning. I'm not going to go into it, but that's what I do. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to mention. I need to do a shout out. A shout out to someone very special. Someone incredibly special. This young lady, a very beautiful lady, listens to my podcast and she enjoys it. Now that is rare. Don't forget, I've only got 3 listeners. And she's clearly one of them. And I was emailed by her husband and he asked me to give her a shout out. So this is the shout out. Are you ready? Chris Coon, thank you so much for listening to my show. You are fabulous. And I can tell you that of all my 3 listeners, you are in the top 3. Without a shadow of a doubt. And also, I'll say hello to her husband, Ray, who messaged me. He said how much he likes the podcast. Yeah, thanks for the message, Ray. If you want to shout out, I'm happy to do it. I'll shout out at anyone. I'm always shouting at people in the street. Normally when I'm drunk. Sometimes when I'm sober. I'm not choosy. Anyway, one more time. Chris Coon, you're beautiful. Thanks for listening to the show. That's pretty much it with the housekeeping. So now we're going to do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. It started with a quiz, never thought it would come to this. Yeah, we're starting off with the quiz, boys and girls. Do you remember, I got my new book, okay? It's called So This Is Christmas Quiz Book. Okay, so if you want to cheat on the quiz, get yourself a copy and you can just find out the answers before I do the quiz. If you want to live your life that way, I'm not going to stop you. I don't care. So last week was the first time from the new book and these were the scores I got sent. I only got sent 8. Seems like this time of year people are getting a little bit lazy. Don't want to send me their scores. Brighton Rock scored 5. Well done, Brighton Rock. I want to say well done. Not well done, is it? It's rubbish. John Gomez scored 6. Pamela Wootton scored 7. Mary Pulte scored 8. And so did Scott Newman, but Scott Newman put 8.33 because he knew one of the wise men. One of them. He only knew one of them. I don't know which one he knew. I don't know if he knew him personally, but he only knew one of them. Adam Parker, who we mentioned earlier, do you remember? From Merry Britsmas podcast. Check it out. It's back. He scored 9 and so did Martin Goodman. Oh, Martin Goodman's back on form. Well done, Martin. And my mate Mickey Mike Westphal from the Advent Calendar House podcast, he scored 10, same as me. Well done, Mike Westphal. So it sort of seems like I've gauged the level of the questions reasonably well, you know. No one's getting 0, or if they are, they're not letting me know about it. So yeah, we're going to stick with that sort of level. Now here's the deal, I explained this last week, I'm going to run over it quickly. Each quiz in the book is 15 questions, right? They're all under a different topic. So the first lot were general knowledge. So last episode was general knowledge. Then you get 3 quizzes of 15 questions under general knowledge. First one easy, second one medium, third one quite hard. So this one, I've still got some of the general knowledge questions left from the other quizzes. We've got 4 from the general knowledge. They're a bit tricky, maybe. Then we've got this Christmas TV. Now I had to cherry pick these because obviously a lot of them are from the UK. People overseas wouldn't have a clue. So yeah, I've got 2 from the easy one, 3 from the medium one, and only 1 from the difficult one. So are you ready? Here we go. Question number 1. What popular Christmas song was the first song to be broadcast from space in 1965? What was that? What song was that? Christmas song. Question number 2. Yeah, okay. I've had this one before in a different quiz, but I'm doing it again because it was a while ago and you might have forgotten the answer or you might have learnt the answer since then. I don't know. I'm doing it. In the movie The Expendables, who plays the character Lee Christmas? Yeah, who plays him? That's the only festive thing about it. The film is not festive. His surname is... Okay, you get it. Question number 3. Which London street is traditionally the first in the UK to switch on its Christmas lights? Very famous. Thing is, that might not be something that's world renowned, but I kind of think it might be. So I thought I'd add this one in there. It might make it a bit tricky for some of you. Don't get upset, or do get upset, but don't come crying to me about it. Don't cry to your husband or your wife or your kids. Your kids don't want to see you crying because you don't know a quiz question. It's embarrassing. Right, next one. Which Christmas song has been recorded the most times? Do you want a clue? I'll give you a clue, right? it's in the public domain, so it's got to be an old one, hasn't it? Because then you don't have to pay royalties on it, you see. Right, now we're on to the easy questions of the Christmas TV section. In Robin Robin, if you've not heard of this, you should have, okay? It was massive on Netflix about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's an Aardman Animation Christmas special. I was really looking forward to it. Then I watched it, and it was all right. And then I watched it again this year, just gone by, and it was all right still. I think I liked it more the second time than the first time. I didn't think it was great. I didn't. It wasn't what I was expecting. Anyway, in Robin Robin, what family of animals has raised the little Robin? What family of animals was it? Question number... This is in the easy section. How is this easy? I didn't even get this one. And it's a multiple choice. Who dresses up as Santa in the SpongeBob SquarePants episode Christmas Who? Was it A, Squidward, B, Patrick, C, Sandy, or D, Mr. Krabs? Who was it? Okay, I didn't get that one right, to my shame. Okay, now on to the medium level questions. True or false? The Mr. Bean Christmas special was entitled We Wish You a Beanie Christmas. Is that true? Or is that false? Next one. Now, I'm going to slightly change this question and make it a little bit trickier because it's too easy otherwise. Fill in the blank. Blank roasting on an open fire was the first episode of the long-running popular TV show. What is the missing word there? Okay, it was the first ever episode. It was a Christmas episode. What's the show and what's the word? Next one. What animal features heavily in the famous Friends Christmas episode, The One with the Holiday? Now, they've done this wrong in the book, I can tell you that, because it should say The One with the Holiday and then the name of the animal that they're talking about. That's the name of the episode, but they've just put The One with the Holiday. So they got it wrong. Don't you make that mistake, but tell me what it is. What's the animal? That's a Friends episode. And the last question is... In South Park, Mr. Hankey is a Christmas what? Now, here's one for you, boys and girls. Right, you're thinking, everyone knows that. Right, that episode came out, are you ready? Nearly 28 years ago. 28 years ago. Yeah. Where did that time go? I'll tell you, down the back of the sofa. That's where it's gone, kids. Have a rummage around. You might find something good down there. Right, that's your 10 questions. Here come your 10 answers. Question 1. What popular Christmas song was the first song to be broadcast from space in 1965? It was, of course, Jingle Bells, and that was aboard the Gemini 6. Interesting fact that most of you probably know if you're big Christmas fanatics. Jingle Bells was actually written for Thanksgiving. Yeah, but it's a Christmas song. Accept it. In the movie The Expendables, who plays the character named Lee Christmas? That was, of course, Jason Statham. Yeah. Next one. Which London street is traditionally the first in the UK to switch on its Christmas lights? That is Oxford Street. Yeah, and every year they get a big celebrity to go and turn on the lights. Yeah, they haven't asked me, which is really surprising. I would have thought by now, you know, show's been going 5 years. I would have thought they'd be on the phone. Hi, this is Oxford Street. You want to come and turn on our lights? Nah, can't be bothered, mate. Do it yourself. It's a light switch. Just flick the switch. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Anyway, next one. What Christmas song has been recorded the most times? That was Silent Night. Yeah. Next question. In Robin Robin by Aardman Animations, what family of animals has raised Robin? That is, of course, mice. Yeah, little mice. And Robin's got like these little mice ears. He pushes his feathers up to give himself mice ears. Yeah. Whom dresses up as Santa in the SpongeBob SquarePants episode Christmas Who? I thought it was Patrick. The answer was Squidward. Yeah, I've got it about that. Okay, next one. True or false? The Mr. Bean Christmas special was entitled We Wish You a Beanie Christmas. It was false. It was actually called Merry Christmas, Mr. Bean. If you haven't seen that, you really should check it out. It's a blinding one. Really good it is. The next one. Blank roasting on an open fire was the first ever episode of which long-running comedy series? That was, of course, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire. Yeah, and that's the one where they actually get Santa's little helper at the end of the episode. Oh, hang on, I think we're up to number 9 now. What animal features heavily in the famous Friends Christmas episode, The One with the Holiday? Well, that should read The One with the Holiday Armadillo. Yeah, it was an armadillo, and Ross dresses up as an armadillo. Yeah, long story, won't go into it. And the final question. In South Park, Mr. Hankey is a Christmas what? Well, he is a Christmas shit. No, sorry, Christmas poo. Goodness me. No need to lower the tone. Right, well, I scored 9, kids. How did you do? Now, there's only one way for me to find out, boys and girls, and that's for you to email me your score. Do it. Do it now before you forget. Come on, I can wait. Do you want me to wait? I'll wait. I'm waiting. I'm going to sit here now and wait until I get an email with someone's score, which could take a really long time because obviously you can't listen to this until I've finished recording it and sent it out. Maybe I won't. I'm not going to bother waiting. I won't bother waiting. I'm not going to wait for you, okay? Because you just keep me waiting for ages anyway, and it's not fair on anyone. That was the quiz. Email me your score. I love you. Move on.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A day without drinking probably won't kill you, but why risk it? I mean, the heavier you weigh, the harder you're going to be to kidnap. So I just say, stay safe and keep drinking. Now, when it comes to law enforcement, I thought that the police officer in the UK is called a bobby. It was what we heard in the States growing up. We were told the same two facts, that the cops are called bobbies and that they don't have guns. However, it was Nicholas Ria's mystery book series and the popular TV show Heartbeat, based on those books, that taught me otherwise. Although Nick begins his career as a fresh-faced young bobby, he dreams of being a detective and solving the local crimes. These books chronicle his career, patrolling the countryside in a small rural village where he is known by his other and more common title, Constable. In fact, he even has a few adventures during the holidays in the books Constable on Trial, Constable in the Country, and Constable on the Coast. This term did set off the Do You Hear What I Hear sirens, because you may hear the police referred to by a lot of names in the US. Officers, cops, troops, law, heat, fuzz, and many others less flattering. But you don't hear constable. I mean, they exist here, but they're elected officials who are officers of the court. They don't go to the police academy, they just serve papers and arrest warrants. Their duties tend to overlap with those of a sheriff's deputy, which is a far more popular term. Constable just feels a bit old world and too formal for us. So for Americans, constable is an unusual name, but for the Brits, it evokes a sense of authority. Its earliest known use is in the Middle English period, where it was used to describe the chief household officer in the year 1200. The title originates from the Roman Empire and comes from the Latin word stabuli. This literally means the count of the stable or chief groom. So the constable was the individual responsible for keeping the horses of a lord or a king. This term expanded in medieval Europe, where constables became prominent figures. They are now recognized as the oldest law enforcement position in the world. The constable was originally the only person allowed to carry the king's sword, and they grew to be an officer of high military rank. The constable's primary duty was as the commander of the king's armies and to uphold the crown rule of orders. The name is largely gender neutral, but might be more associated with males due to its historical context of military and law enforcement roles. In modern usage, constable now refers to a police officer. Ironically, given its original high position and rank, in England today, the constable is the entry-level position. It is the lowest rank of a police officer. It has been suggested that the term cop is also from England and stands for Constable on Patrol. In addition, others argue that the original police officers in England were issued copper badges. At some point, people began to refer to these officers as coppers, which then later was shortened to cops. All I know is that if you ever have an encounter with a constable, you may want to impress him with your knowledge of how his job first started out at the back end of a king's horse. Cheers and happy Christmas.
That was a good one again, wasn't it? Yeah, constable. Yeah. Now, when you're a teenager, you can subtly twist that word just a little bit to put the emphasis in the wrong place to really insult the police officer. Yeah. I've got friends that have done that. Not me, myself. Anyway, I'm impressed with that one. Again, I'm always impressed. But yeah, I'm really impressed. When he said some women, it's normally WPC, because you've got PC, police constable, and then if it's a female, it's WPC. Although I'm not sure if they've got rid of the W for like equality reasons. I should look into that, but I'm not going to. Okay, thanks for that, Bob. He's going to be back again in a bit. But you know what? Before he comes back, let's talk about his show. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans. I mention it every episode. You're probably sick of me mentioning it. Do you listen to it? If you listen to it, you won't be sick of it. You'll be like, oh yeah, I love that show. I like it when Jack mentions it. It brings back happy memories of listening to the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Check it out. It's blinding, kids. I really enjoy it. You will too. Now we're doing this. This is brilliant, right? Because this joke was sent in by someone else. It was sent in by Brighton Rock. Yeah, the guy who scored a measly 5 in the quiz. But he sent this joke in. So if you think it's naff, which you will, then it's not my fault, is it? It's his fault. Here it comes. What is tinsel when you're done with it? Binsel. Binsel. Because you chucked it in the bin. Binsel. Yep. Thanks, Brighton Rock. Blind him. Boys and girls, it is now another Muppets Christmas special. I love doing these, I really do. And this one is The Bear in the Big Blue House. Now, I never really watched The Bear in the Big Blue House because I was a grown man when it came out. But it was one of those shows that I sort of, because I say grown man, I was in my mid-20s. To be honest, I didn't really mature till I hit 40. So I probably would have sat down and watched it, actually, given half a chance. But anyway, it ran for 5 seasons between 1997 and 2006. There was a bit of a gap between the last series, between 2003 and 2006. Yeah, and there was 117 episodes. 117 episodes. And it starred Noel McNeil as the bear who lives in a big blue house with a bunch of other animals. Yeah, it was like a preschooler's show. Of course, I would have loved it, but I never watched it. I think it must have been on a channel that I didn't watch, like Channel 5, or it was just on when I was out doing stuff, like, I don't know what I did. I did stuff, definitely. Now, the episode is called A Berry Bear Christmas, and we'll get to why a bit later on, but it was actually in 2 parts, and they were both released on the 7th of December, 1999. Yeah, so everyone was gearing up for the millennium. But just before then, a couple of weeks before, Berry Bear Christmas. Let's check that out. So I'm just going to run through the 2 episodes. Now, on YouTube, one of the versions I watched, it was like both episodes stuck together. So they'd taken out certain bits of the 2nd episode, which was a bit interesting. I'll talk about that as I get to it. But I'm just going to run through the episode, and I hope you'll be thinking, yeah, maybe I'll give it a watch, even though I'm a grown adult. Well, I'm a grown adult, and I enjoyed it. So it opens up with the Berry Bear Christmas song. Actually, let me play a little bit for you. Here we go.
We gotta get ready.
A little to the left.
Daddy, daddy.
There's presents to be wrapped and games to play.
Oh, we are having a Berry Bear Christmas. And it's everybody's holiday.
Look out, excuse me. Holiday cheese coming through. Here we go. Watch out.
And then this is the bit that happened at the start of every episode. And he comes up and he sniffs the screen as if he's sniffing the audience at home, and he's like, "Ah, oh, you smell like..." And apparently this week we smell like pine cones, holiday cookies, wrapping paper and mistletoe. Yeah, nice. So then it cuts to Pip and Pop. They're a couple of otters and they're making a reindeer wreath, so they're putting on it stuff that reindeer would like, which apparently is apples and tennis balls. Yeah, tennis balls to play catch, apples for eating. And then we get a bit of an argument with all the other animals because they're like, oh, I want to make this, and I want to do that, and I want to decorate this, and I want to do that. And they all start arguing, and Bear sort of comes up and goes, look, that's what Christmas is all about, arguing about the stuff you want to do. And then he gives us this episode's word, which is holidays. And he lists a few holidays. Have a listen to this.
Since time began, people everywhere have celebrated some kind of winter holiday. And the winter holidays are great. It's when family and friends get together to celebrate the season and be close to each other.
Yeah, so he says, right, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and for him, it's all about the winter berry. Yeah, which he sort of suggests that's what Christmas is to him. Well, I wonder what baby Jesus would have to say about that, boys and girls. And Santa Claus, but he'd be a bit annoyed as well. Well, I say that, but don't worry, later on they do go and visit Santa Claus. Then we get the Holiday for Everyone song. Have a listen to this.
There's a special celebration, happens every year. For some it's Hanukkah, some it's Christmas, ones are drawing near. Joyful, joyful everyone, 'tis the season to have fun. The celebration has begun, it's a holiday for everyone.
And then all the little animals, that, oh, like I just said, they all want to go and see Santa Claus at the mall. Now Bear explains to them that Santa Claus himself might be busy, so when they go to the mall, it might be one of his helpers. Which, when I was a kid, I don't really remember people telling me that. Look, this ain't the real Santa, this is just Santa's, one of Santa's helpers. And our kids as well, whenever we take them to see Santa, yeah, that's Santa. And I remember one time, I took Robin, I didn't go and take her to see Santa, but there was a bloke dressed as Santa with his mate. They were raising money for a charity, and one of them was dressed as Santa. A very skinny man, and I don't even remember if he had a beard, right? But they were there together raising money for an elderly charity, and I gave Robin some money to go and put in their tin, and they gave her like a chocolate or something. And I said to her afterwards, she was only little, I was like, do you think that was the real Santa? And she's like, yeah. And then a couple of days later, we went to see another Santa. I'd say she was about 3 years old at the time, right? And this one looked the part, like proper professional Santa type thing. And I was like, do you think that was the real Santa? And she's like, yeah, yeah. So she didn't care. Any Santa to her was the real Santa. She didn't care. Anyway, can we move on from that? Although that is very festive. Christmas. And yeah, the Santa they see at the mall is actually Santa Hog. And it's Dr. Hog, who's a pig that lives next door to the bear in the big blue house. Yeah, and I should say, he was actually voiced by a chap called Tyler Bunch. And he does a number of voices in the show. Yeah, actually, to be honest, a lot of them do a number of voices of the different puppets, and the different animals. Then we get another song, All You Want for Christmas. Let's have a listen to a bit of that.
Oh, that's all you want for Christmas?
Yes, thank you, Santa Hog.
I don't know. I'll talk to Santa.
And then it's back to the big blue house for Coco, and Bear goes outside and sees Shadow. Now, Shadow is a shadow, and Bear speaks to her, and then in every episode, you'd get like a little animation, sometimes a poem, sometimes a song, or a short story about whatever topic they were doing. And we get a little song about Kwanzaa. Yeah, and the animation is done with like shadow puppets. So we get that. And then Bear's just going in and it starts snowing, which is very Christmassy. He goes in and Trilo, who's a lemur, thinks all the presents are for him and they all want to open them. All of them want to open them. And more arguments ensue. And then they hear howling and they open the door and there, just outside the doorstep, is an old hound dog. And his name's Jack the Dog.
Jack! Jack the Dog, they call me. Because, well, my name is Jack and, well, I'm a dog, I guess.
Yeah, and it turns out he's homeless. And so then Bear brings him in, and he's all asleep. And then he wakes up, and Bear's like, you know, look, do you want to stay with us for a bit? And the dog is like, oh yeah, that'd be great, thanks so much. And then he falls asleep again. And then, right, Bear explains to Tutter, who's a mouse, he's voiced by Peter Linz, and he's one of the ones that voices a number of the characters, but he's also the voice of Walter in the Muppets movie. You know, the one, God, it's nearly 20 years old now, that one, is it? 15, 16 years old. Anyway, yeah, he's the voice of Walter in the Muppet movies, and he's Tutter. But here's the thing, right? Bear explains to Tutter, the mouse, about, like, homeless people, and Tutter starts singing a song about what if he was homeless. Yeah, well done, Tutter, for making it all about you. We got a homeless dog who nearly froze to death sleeping on our couch, and you start singing about what if I was homeless. Well, you ain't bloody homeless. You live in a big blue house. Crikey. Anyway, then Bear goes and checks on Jack, and he wakes up and says he should leave. But the others all come, and they're like, will you stay with us for the holidays? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, that'd be nice. And so he decides to stay, which is really good. And then everyone goes to sleep except Bear, and he goes out to see the snow, and Luna turns up. Luna is the moon, and they sing a song called Just Listen. Have a listen. Hey, why don't you just listen?
Every mouse is in his mouse hole, on his nest in the
bear cubs get all cozy,
and lemurs finally rest.
Even an old hound can finally settle down to just listen.
And that's how pretty much every episode ends. He'd see Luna and they'd sing a song together, or they might sing the goodbye song. Now, Luna is played by a lady called Lynn Thigpen, right? She's been in a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff, but this was, I thought, was quite impressive. She does the voice of the radio DJ on the film The Warriors. It was a film from 1979 about gangs in New York. And the Warriors have got to like make it back home to Coney Island through town without getting beaten up by all the other gangs. And as the film's going on, it keeps cutting to this DJ. And you don't see her face, you just see her mouth talking at the microphone about the progress the Warriors are making across the city.
For all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action, I've been asked to relay a request from the Gramercy Riffs. It's a special for the Warriors. That's that real live bunch from Coney.
Yeah, she played that character. Sadly, she passed away in 2003, but I think they'd finished filming all the episodes by then. But yeah, she passed away just around the same time it finished. Then we get part two. Now, it starts off with the same song that they were singing at the start of the first one. You remember the bit I played to you earlier? We're having a berry bear Christmas. Yeah, although in the cut version I saw where the episodes were amalgamated together, that song was removed. And they start off by saying, oh, we're going caroling. And then we get a medley of carol songs where the words have all been changed. Have a listen to this.
Oh, come on, ye otters.
I see
her. Dog
and bear cubs.
Come join in our caroling. But don't sing or play.
Yes, the whole was cheddar wedges. La 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 la. Each prize is extra to the edges. La 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 la. The frills sail from.
My true love gave to me my golden
yeah. Over the river and through the woods, a horsey knows the way.
Yeah, so Bear comes up to the camera and he says, oh, it's Christmas Day today. Now, this bit had been cut out as well of one of the versions I watched, because the bit where he sniffs the camera again, he sniffs the camera and he says, we smell like sugar plums, which is very nice as well. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Then he gives us, and this was cut as well from the other one, he gives us the word of the episode, and it is tradition. And he talks about different traditions, for example, spinning a dreidel, hanging up stockings, giving presents, and then he shows us Tutter's shoe, and Tutter leaves his little shoe outside his mouse hole in the hope that it will be filled with cheese at Christmas. And then he talks about another tradition, which is the tradition of the winter berry, which he'd mentioned in the previous episode, right? And he tells us the story in the form of a song. Now, I'm going to play a bit of it for you. Have a listen to this.
So, come one, come all, come large and small, sing hidey-ho-dee-dairy, search high and low where'er you go and find the winter berry.
Yes, so the story goes there that this bear is starving to death in the middle of winter and he finds a single berry on this bush and he's going to eat it, and then another bear turns up and the other bear's like starving to death as well. And the bear's like, oh, I was going to eat this berry, but let's share it. And he breaks it in half and gives half of it to the other bear. And they eat their berry, half a berry each, not a lot to sustain a bear, which should be hibernating, to be honest. Anyway, they go to sleep. When they wake up, the bush is filled with berries. It's a Christmas miracle. And from that day to this, whoever finds the Christmas berry can make a wish, apparently. Then the animals are all thinking, what can they buy Bear? And Jack, the dog, remember from last episode, he's still living there, he talks about making presents. And so they decide they're going to make a present for Bear. Meanwhile, Bear goes off and sees Shadow again. And this time the animation is about the dreidel. Yeah, and we get the dreidel song. Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. And then she says she's got a present for him. And the present is a kiss. And I reckon he would have preferred chocolate. But still, he got a kiss from a shadow. Interesting. And then they're opening their presents, right? Everyone's opened all their presents. Oh, that was great. All presents are wonderful. Fantastic. There's still loads of unopened boxes there. What's that? Open your bloody boxes. Anyway, they give Bear his present. And what they've done is they decorated a bucket for him for his berry picking. Yeah, because in a bit, they're going to go out and find the winter berry. Then suddenly the animals realised they didn't get Jack anything for Christmas, the hound dog that they found in the snow. But then he sings about their gift, and their gift is them letting him hang around in their house, sleeping on their sofa. But then it cuts to Jack leaving. So he's just sung about how great it is being there, and then he's leaving. And Bear says, hang on a minute, come on, don't leave just yet. It's the middle of Christmas Day. Can't you at least come and find the winter berry with us? So they all go out to find the winter berry. Now, Pip and Pop find the berry. They're like, oh, there it is. It's on that bush there. Let's get it. But they're too small to reach it. So Jack comes along, the dog, and he's like, oh, do you want a lift? So they hop on his back and he lifts them up so they can grab the berry. And then they go up to the bear and they're like, look, we found a winter berry. We found a winter berry. And they're like, well, why don't you make your wish then? And they're like, oh, do you know what? We found it, but Jack found it as well. And Jack's like, look, I didn't find it. I just helped you get the blooming thing. And they're like, oh, okay. We'll make a wish. And you know what they wish for? They wish that Jack would find a home. Yeah, very thoughtful of them, I thought. And then who should come along but Doc Hogg? Remember Doc Hogg? He was the one who was dressed as Santa. He comes along and he's like, look, I've just been cleaning out my backyard, which is what everyone does on Christmas Day, don't they? That's what I put aside all my jobs for Christmas Day. Yeah, Christmas Day comes, it's like, right, what have I got to clean up then? Let's clean the attic first. Yeah. Then we'll go and clean out the dirty old shed in the middle of winter. Yeah, we'll do that. Anyway, that's what Doc Hogg was doing, apparently. What did he find in his garden? A doghouse. Yeah, so Jack goes to live there. And then we get a reprise of the Winterberry song.
Come on, come on, come on, just all sing hidey holy berry.
We searched and searched and fought
until we found the Winterberry. We made a wish
and it came true.
Sing hidey holy berry.
And maybe next year it will be you. Finds the Winterberry.
And maybe next year it will be you who finds the Winterberry.
And then I guess everyone else has gone to sleep because he goes outside to see Luna and they sing the goodbye song, which is the song you get at the end of every episode.
Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. 'Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay. 'Cause we'll see you very soon, I know.
And that's the end. And do you know what, boys and girls? I really did enjoy it. Now, The Bear in the Big Blue House is on Disney Plus, which I have. However, the second part of the episode was not on there. So I had to watch it on YouTube. And I looked through Disney Plus a couple of times, like, trying to find that episode. It's not there. It should be straight after part one, obviously. But it ain't there at all. Yeah. So that's that. But if you do want to check it out, I'd recommend it. I mean, now if you've got youngsters and they've never watched The Bear in the Big Blue House, you know, they've got no frame of reference for it. I had no frame of reference for it and I still enjoyed it. So, you know, you might as well. And the kids might. Give it a shot. Why not? It's something new, isn't it? And it's the Muppets, so it's always going to be good. Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually. I only have a couple of things I need to say. Jack, the dog, was voiced by Dave Goels. I hope I said that right. I know I said it wrong. Goels or something. He's the guy that voiced Gonzo. Yeah, and a lot of other Muppets, but mainly Gonzo. That's what he's most famous for. But the other thing is, Jack goes to move in to the doghouse with Doc Hogg, and Doc Hogg is in loads of other episodes. Jack isn't. He's only in those two episodes. Oh, that was a bit of a shame. Would have been nice if he'd pop up occasionally, but there you go. Anyway, that, boys and girls, is The Bear in the Big Blue House, A Merry Berry Christmas. Why not check it out? Now let's do this.
Where are you, Christmas? How about the Bunchan Santa's Village in the Gyeong Sungbukdo province in South Korea? This is a year-round Christmas village located in the Bakdugagan mountain range. Guests will climb aboard a V-train or valley train, which travels through steep mountain precipices and features oversized windows with panoramic views. It is known as the Bakdugagan Snow Train. The snow train stops at five quaint mountain stations, offering a unique travel experience. Santa's Village was created here because Korean children believe that Santa hides in this remote mountainous area, a place that's called Korea's Siberia. During the trip, the crew is dressed as Santa or Rudolph, and they sing Christmas carols along the way. riders also make a wish to Santa as they head through the Santa Somang Tunnel. After enjoying the magnificent landscape of snow-covered mountains, travelers arrive at Santa's Village. This charming destination is a festive wonderland and brings the magic of Christmas to life every day. Established in 2014, this unique location was created to revitalize this rural area. The village is adorned with red-roofed buildings, twinkling lights, ornaments, and festive decorations, creating a perpetual holiday experience. Welcoming their arrival is a large mural that features Santa Claus and reindeers pulling his sleigh. When you arrive at the Buncheon Station, there is a sculpture of a group of Rudolphs with Santa. You can also find a large Christmas tree glistening with colorful lights and igloos out on the lawn next to the station. In the village, there are activities that help visitors feel the Christmas spirit, including virtual reality experiences, sledding hills, mini trains, Santa slides, rail bikes, and a photo booth where guests are transformed into Santa himself. Visitors can also explore various Santa-themed photo zones and a Santa post office where postcards can be sent with a special Christmas stamp. There are also traditional Korean folk games such as panggi-chigi, and you can also bake sweet potatoes over a wood fire. There are special animals, including donkeys, who pull carriages around the village. Now, if you know of another mountainous retreat promising a memorable Santa adventure, you scale it for Jack. He'll trek it to me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
It's another good one. Annette, I think I've said this before, boys and girls. I thought Bob was going to have trouble finding anywhere, but he's found loads of places. He's doing a blinding job, but you can help him, boys and girls. Now, I know you'd rather sit on your asses doing nothing. Yeah, maybe eating chocolate, maybe eating crisps, maybe eating crisps and then eating chocolate, and then going back to crisps and then going back to chocolate. Maybe you're eating peanuts, maybe you're eating pretzels. I don't know what you're eating. I don't even know what you're doing. But I know what you're not doing is emailing me with places that are Christmas all year round. You must know of some. I personally don't, but you must. Yeah, so send them in, kids. Do it. Do it now. Thanks again, Bob. Fantastic work. You know it. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
What the dickens?
So, boys and girls, because we're not doing an episode of A Christmas Carol this episode, I thought I'd do a bit of What the Dickens. Now, I'm going to play you an extract from the audiobook, and this is a passage that I particularly like because it describes London in the middle of winter. Have a listen.
Meanwhile, the fog and darkness thickened, so the people ran about with flaring links, proffering their services to go before horses and carriages and conduct them on their way. The ancient tower of a church, whose gruff old bell was always peeping slyly down at Scrooge out of a Gothic window in the wall, became invisible and struck the hours and quarters in the clouds, with tremulous vibrations afterwards as if its teeth were chattering in its frozen head up there. Cold became intense. In the main street, at the corner of the court, some labourers were repairing the gas pipes and had lighted a great fire in a brazier, round which a party of ragged men and boys were gathered, warming their hands and winking their eyes before the blaze in rapture. The water plug being left in solitude, its overflowing sullenly congealed and turned to misanthropic ice. The brightness of the shops, where holly sprigs and berries crackled in the lamp heat of the windows, made pale faces ruddy as they passed. Poulterers' and grocers' trades became a splendid joke, a glorious pageant, with which it was next to impossible to believe that such dull principles as bargain and sale had anything to do. The Lord Mayor, in the stronghold of the Mite Mansion House, gave orders to his 50 cooks and butlers to keep Christmas as a Lord Mayor's household should.
Now, the first bit I want to talk about is when he refers to the brazier. He says, in the main street at the corner of the court, some labourers were repairing the gas pipes and had lighted a great fire in a brazier. Now, a brazier, it's a word that's still used today. It's like a large pan for holding coals. You'd burn them in it. Just a term you might not have been familiar with. Then it also refers to the water plug being left in solitude, its overflowings sullenly congealed and turned to misanthropic ice. And a water plug is just another name for a fire plug or a fire hydrant. And yeah, I was quite surprised, but I looked into it and they did have fire hydrants in the streets back in Victorian times. And this one has obviously maybe been dripping and there's a lot of ice forming around it.
The next bit refers to the Lord Mayor in the stronghold of the mighty mansion gave orders to his 50 cooks and butlers to keep Christmas as a Lord Mayor's household should. And in this book I've got, The Annotated Christmas Carol, they talk a little bit about the mansion house and Dickens's experience with it. Have a listen to this. The mansion house was the official residence of the Lord Mayor of London, and it was built in 1739 to 1753. The impression that this elegant building was an intimidating fortress went back to Dickens's childhood when he was lost in the city and looked in the window. Now these are Dickens's words, not in A Christmas Carol, this is him writing about his life. There was a dinner preparing at the mansion house, and when I peeped in at a grated kitchen window and saw the men cooks at work in their white caps, my heart began to beat with hope that the Lord Mayor or the Lady Mayoress or one of the young princesses, their daughters, would look out of an upper apartment and direct me to be taken in. But nothing of the kind occurred. It was not until I had been peeping in some time that one of the cooks called to me, the window was open, "Cut away, you sir!" which frightened me so on account of his black whiskers that I instantly obeyed. And then it says, Dickens did not exaggerate the lavishness of the banquets often held in the mansion house. In the book has even got an illustration from the London News in April 22nd, 1843. So the same year this was written. And yeah, it's a massive banquet. Yeah, you can see all the tables and hundreds of people sat around eating. One other thing I took away from this, if you've seen the Jim Carrey version of A Christmas Carol, when it pans around the city, pretty much at this point in the book, actually, this point in the book from the bit we're covering, there's a bit where some boys are looking in at the kitchens of the mansion house of the mayor, and the chef actually chucks some meat out at them, and if I remember correctly, a dog comes up and runs off with it. But that was a bit different to Dickens's experience, where he was sent away. At least in the film, they were quite happy to share a bit of meat. And the other bit I wanted to talk about, this was at the very start where it says, "Meanwhile, the fog and darkness thickened so that people ran about with flaring links, proffering their services to go before horses in carriages and conduct them on their way." Now, flaming links were made of tow. I'm saying tow, it's T-O-W, it could be tow. Tow and pitch, or tar, well, pitch and tar is sometimes used as the same meaning. Now, tow, or tow, was coarse broken fibre removed during the processing of flax and hemp, and they'd use that as the wick, and the tar is what they'd set light to. And what would happen is these link boys would run around the streets offering their services to people to guide their way, because this was before you had street lighting. So to get from A to B, you wouldn't have your pocket torch, would you? So you'd get a link boy to lead you on your way through the street, and he'd hold his flaming link up, or flaring link, to guide you where you were going. Or sometimes they'd guide you to a cab, and then you'd get, or a sedan chair or whatever, and you'd get in it, and then he would go and stand in front and lead the way for the sedan chair or the cab to follow him. Yeah, normally they'd be paid a farthing, which is a quarter of a penny. Quite the fortune. Also, people might have their own flaring link that they'd use, that they might take as they were going out. And houses, to this day, some of them still around in London, might have a snuffer, like a candle snuffer, like a cone, a metal cone. So when you get to your destination, you could put out your link in the candle snuffer, so then bring it indoors, and then when you leave, light it again, take it home, go home, and snuff it out again when you get to your own house. And these candle snuffers, very similar in size to the one being carried by the Ghost of Christmas Past. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. One other thing, while we're on the subject, so the term "someone cannot hold a candle to," you know the saying, "someone can't, you couldn't hold a candle to him," may derive from a comparison to an inadequate link boy. So a person walking home after dark would have hired a link boy to light the way with a candle or torch. Obviously the link boy is like a lowly position, and so they're saying you wouldn't even be good enough to hold a candle to guide the way to the other person. Yeah, apparently that might be where it comes from. So there we go, those are some things I wanted to talk about that you might not have been aware of from A Christmas Carol. I hope that's expanded your knowledge of it for you. Now boys and girls, we're doing this. I'll tell you what I've been listening to a bit lately, boys and girls. Desert Island Discs. The BBC have got loads of podcasts. There's lots of recent ones, but there's also lots of old ones as well. And the radio show Desert Island Discs was going in the 50s. It's still going today. So what's that, 70 odd years? And what it is, if you're not familiar, famous people come on and they talk about if they were stranded on a desert island, what 8 songs they'd like to take with them. And I really enjoy it. It's a nice way to learn about famous people. And there's all sorts on there. You've got like actors, singers, movie directors, politicians. I remember they had Tony Blair on there on one of the episodes I listened to before he became Prime Minister back in 1997. Yeah, loads of famous people, sportsmen, you name a famous person, they might have been on there, they might not. And it's not just from the UK, it is probably more people from the UK than overseas. But they've also got plenty of people from other countries all around the world on there as well. Now, if you go on iTunes, they're in batches of 5 years. And I just scroll through, so you're looking at about 250 episodes. And I just scroll through the 250 people, and any that I recognise, I download those episodes. Each episode's about 30, 40 minutes long. And it's just an interesting way to learn about people that you might not have known much about. So if you're looking for a new podcast, why not check that one out? That was this episode's recommendation. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks again to my mate Bob for sending through his sections. Also, I want to say another shout out to the wonderful Chris Coon. Hope you enjoyed this episode, Chris. I dedicate it to you. Don't forget, you've got to email me with your score. If you haven't done it already, you should have done it as soon as you finished the quiz. But if you haven't done it, do it now. Do it right now. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, boys and girls, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Over the years, I got to be quite a connoisseur of soap. My personal preference is for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice, piquant after-dinner flavor. Heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness.